reverence is such an important part of our worshiping God and our attitude toward the Lord. We live in days where that isn't emphasized enough, I think. And sometimes in the music that people sing and just their whole attitude toward the Lord, it lacks a certain reverence. Now, I know that some of the songs that we sing have more of an upbeat, and they're kind of happier songs in that sense. And there's certainly a place for them. And if a song blesses you and draws you to the Lord, and you feel exalts the Lord, well, then sing it. But make sure that in your approaching God, that there's reverence, that there's a recognition of His holiness, that He is high above all the earth, and He's exalted above all gods. And because if we don't approach God that way, then we're not really worshiping Him in a way that He's worthy of. And somehow we don't enter into the relationship with Him that He intends for us to experience. I heard, I guess it was James Dobson one time, he said, you know, when I grew up, I knew my father loved me. He was a great father. And I knew that I could tell him anything. If I had a complaint, if I was upset about something, but he made it very clear that I needed to speak with respect to him. And he said, you know, that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. We can tell him anything. But we always have to approach him with respect. We always have to approach him knowing that he's God and I'm not, and that I'm to reverence and honor him in my approaching him. And I thought that was a good illustration. I could understand that. I respected my dad. Sometimes we talked about things that maybe we didn't even agree upon, but tried to do that with respect. And I got the most out of my relationship with my father when I respected him. And when kids don't respect their parents, and they don't respect their authority, then their parents can't be the help and the blessing to them that God intends for them to be. And so that's a good parallel between our earthly fathers and our heavenly father. And so when we talk about holiness, you have to consider that aspect of reverence and respect and bowing before God. Praise God. And that seems to bring a manifestation of His presence to us that we wouldn't get if we were too casual or too familiar. That's why I don't like phrases like the man upstairs and things like that. That doesn't really honor the Lord the way He deserves to be honored. And so we ought to ask the Lord, Lord, teach me how to reverence you. Teach me how to really honor you for who you really are and to respect you. And Lord, to know that you're my heavenly Father, I can come to you at any time and I can pour out my heart to you. But don't let me ever get so familiar with you that I neglect to consider the fact that you're holy and that I desperately need you and I depend upon you for my very breath. Praise God. Let's look at another psalm today. Let's look at Psalm 22. At least we'll start there. And I'll have some of you do some reading with me, if you'd be so kind. Now, here's another psalm with the word holy in it. And the way in which the Lord met us last night and helped us to praise Him and worship Him in such liberty, I thought of this psalm and thought we could talk a little bit about that yet. Psalm 22. I don't know that we need to read through the whole psalm. It's a wonderful psalm, prophetic psalm. I was reading about it, and it said, you know, this is David writing this psalm, and he's expressing something of what he's going through and his suffering in this poetic way. He said, but as you read the psalm, you realize that this is talking about Jesus, and you You forget about David completely, and you just think about Christ on the cross and the suffering that he endured for us. And I'm sure David didn't mind that at all, that his psalm pointed us to Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Praise God. In NIV it says, the words of my groaning. Can you read a verse for me, John, please? Verse 2.
Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me, and in the night season, and am not silent.
Deborah, please, 3.
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel.
Now, which translation are you reading?
NIV.
Okay, good. I like that. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are, what was that? The praise of Israel. In the King James it says, thou art holy, and O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now it's interesting, these languages, Hebrew and Greek, I know nothing about them. That's why they interest me. But they tell us that, you know, there are many different shades of meanings in some of the words that are translated. And sometimes the translators have to decide. Well, they always have to decide which shade of meaning is most appropriate and is intended in this context. And that's why we have different translations, and that's why some verses appear different than others. They're all based on the same Hebrew words in the Old Testament, but they lean this way, I suppose, and another lean that way. But I also find that these different shades of meaning, they're very significant. Sometimes the thought that the Lord is trying to get across to us is not just one of the shades of meaning, but maybe more than one. That's about as clear as mud now, right? And so when we compare translations, we find sometimes we get a fuller understanding of what is really intended here. And I think that's the case here in verse 3. In King James it says, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And in the NIV it says, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Another translation says, you are enthroned upon the praises of your people. And there seems to be a connection between praising God and God inhabiting those praises and being enthroned. Let's look at Exodus 15, and maybe I can explain that a little bit better. Because we see something very similar here. In Exodus 15, I mentioned it last night, this is when the children of Israel had been released from Egyptian bondage, had crossed the Red Sea, and then the Lord closed up the waters of the sea upon the enemies that were pursuing them. Let's read the first few verses there. I'm just calling on different people. I'm calling on Sean, right? Sean, can you read verse 1 for me, Exodus 15, 1?
Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.
Okay, Natalie, verse 2, please.
The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him.
Okay. Now, in the King James, it says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will... Now, Natalie read, I will praise him. Here in the King James, it says, I will prepare him a habitation. Okay, so here both in Exodus 15 and Psalm 22, these words, prepare a habitation, inhabit the praises of your people, and praise. It's translated either way. And I think what the Lord is trying to help us to understand that as we praise the Lord, God comes and inhabits those praises. He comes and dwells in those praises. In other words, our praises bring God to us. When we praise the Lord, God comes to us. We build him a habitation that he can come and dwell in. And to take it a little bit further, he is enthroned upon the praises of his people. In other words, when we praise him, we are acknowledging him as the one who is worthy of praise, that he is our king. And as we praise him, he manifests his authority as king. And we submit to that authority. You know, the Lord is the king over all the earth, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is able to subdue all things unto himself. When we think of the armies of certain kingdoms going and invading other territories and subduing them, overcoming them and making them their servants and part of their kingdom. Well, the Lord wants to do that in our lives. He wants to subdue everything in us and cause everything in us to bow to his authority, to acknowledge that he is king. And one way in which he works that out in our life is as we praise him. That's why it's so important to praise the Lord. It's so important for us to learn to do that. It's not a matter of, well, I'm a quiet sort of person. That's not my style. I like quiet stuff. The Bible is full of teaching of the importance of praising God and full of commands for us to do so. And it's for our own good. First of all, we praise him because he's worthy. He deserves our praise every day. We can't praise him enough. I felt that way last night. I didn't want to stop praising him. Maybe you felt that way too. Did we praise him enough last night? Are we all done now? Okay, or could we do that all over again every day of our lives and never feel as though we've really praised him sufficiently? We're going to be praising him throughout the ages of eternity. We read that there are those in heaven that are gathered around the throne. And one of their main occupations is they're so taken up with the glory of God and his majesty that the praises just keep pouring out. And that's right, because he deserves that and so much more. And so when we praise the Lord, we open the way for him to come to us. We set up a tent and say, Jesus, now come and fill this. Come and live here. And when we want the Lord to come to us, and when we seek the Lord, one way to do that is to praise him. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about praise, just a few more verses. Psalm 103. Of course, that's a very familiar psalm to us. We like to sing it. Whenever we sing this song, Brother Eddie, he sings it differently than I do. He holds certain notes much longer. And whenever he comes to Canarsie, when we have special meetings and we sing this song, I'll say, Blessed all my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And Brother Eddie will say, Bless his holy name. You know, I'm singing the song for the third time already, and Brother Eddie's still finishing up. But it doesn't seem to stop him. He's sure this is the way to sing it. So I enjoy that. I actually listen for it when we sing. Praise God. Well, let's read it. Sister Beth, can you read verse 1 for us, please?
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Thank you. You read that out of the NIV, didn't you?
I did.
Because you're from Brother Ernie's church. And King James says, Bless the Lord. I used to think, how can I bless the Lord? He's supposed to bless me. But really, the word here translated bless means praise. And maybe that blesses him when I praise him. But praise the Lord, all my soul and my innermost being. Okay. Sister Marianne, can you read for us? Verse 2.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Sammy.
Who forgives all your iniquities. Heals all your diseases.
Praise God. And would you please, Ben, verse 4?
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy.
mercies.
And Mrs. Ferris?
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle.
Okay. Here he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I like the NIV there. It says there, all my innermost being, with my whole heart, put my will into it, put my emotion into it, all my desire. Just praise the Lord with all your heart. All that is within me bless his holy name. And there we see that word holy there too, don't we? Bless his holy name. Praise God. And then it gives us reason to praise the Lord because of all his wonderful benefits. You know, we praise him for who he is, first of all. We praise him for his holiness and so on. But then we also praise him for what he does for us. There's nothing wrong with that. To praise God for his benefits, for the blessings that we've received in our lives. I remember this, I'm sure I told this story, but somebody I was relating how a missionary, oh no, a man was, well, could be a missionary, could be a man, I guess, could be a woman. But this person was very discouraged. The Lord didn't seem to be answering his prayers. Things weren't going the way he intended for them to go. And so he would talk to the pastor about that, and he said, I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. It's just not working out. It's not what I expected. Things are getting worse for me. I'm going through trial after trial. And the pastor tried to encourage him and couldn't get anywhere with him. And so the pastor was very wise. He said, well, you know, if you're going to quit work, you got to give a week's notice, right? So if you're not going to follow the Lord, at least have the decency to tell him about it and thank him. Thank him for what he has done for you. And so he said, okay, I'll go home and do that. So he got home, and he went into his bedroom, closed the door, and he began to just pour out his heart to God and his complaints. Lord, this I prayed and you didn't do this, and why did you let that happen? And I can't follow you. It's too hard, and it's not what I expected, and so on. But before I go, it's only right to thank you. It hasn't been all bad. And he said, Lord, I want to thank you for when I was out of work and I needed help, how you provided that job for me. And when I was so alone and empty inside, I remember how your presence came to me and just made me to know that you were with me. When my little girl was sick, we didn't know what to do. Father, I just want to thank you that you answered prayer, raised her up. And he started crying like I'm doing. And by the time he was done, he was praising the Lord with all his heart. He ran back to that church and asked the pastor to forgive him for ever talking so foolishly. And he just went on to serve the Lord. And I don't know if that's a true story, but it's a good one. It sounds good. But you know, the Lord does something for you when you praise him and you get your eyes and you thank him for all his benefits. You know, sometimes it's good to just do that. Say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you and think about the good things that you've done for me and thank you for them. I often look over a congregation as we're praising the Lord and I say, well, you know, our praises are different this week than they were last week, because God has done so much for us in between time, and now we're praising him for those things too. And that's how it is. As we praise the Lord, our praises are fresh because we're praising God for fresh blessing that we've recently experienced. And so David tells us to praise him with all your heart and don't forget his benefits. Okay, let's continue. This is really good. Psalm 149. There's 150 Psalms. And this is 149. And I think this is very instructive. It tells us what God does when we praise him. And it all ties together. We'll see that. Let's read this whole psalm. And let's just go around. Lisa, can you read for us, please? And then Brother Dale. And
the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints.
Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
Sister Ming, please.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbre and the harp.
Daniel. Yes, Brother Daniel.
For the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Kenneth.
Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in
their hand. Brother Petfield. 7. Verse 7, Brother Petfield.
To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people.
Tom, please.
To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
And Sister Elsie.
To carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all the saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Particularly verses 8 through the end. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. Now, I guess we can talk about what it means, the high praises of God. I often think of that as the praises that are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I listen to a tape of a meeting of the past, sometimes these Hans Waldfogel tapes that we listen to, they have the whole meeting recorded. And somebody noticed or called to our attention, and I've noticed it since then, that sometimes when you hear the congregation praising the Lord, it's they praise the Lord, the music stops, they stop, they start again. But there comes a moment in the meeting where the sound of the praises change, and it's as though the anointing of the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and then the praises just begin to flow, and God begins to manifest himself. We need to look for that as we praise the Lord. Lord, I'll start out in the natural. I'll just praise you because I know it's the right thing to do and you're worthy and I've got so much to praise you for. But Lord, somewhere along the way, I want the Holy Spirit to take over and make my praises to really be worthy of him. Our praises are really not worthy of the Lord unless they're anointed of the Holy Ghost, unless it's the Holy Spirit praising through us. And that's why we need to continue praising the Lord and looking for Jesus and looking for his touch and believing that he will lift our praises up into a realm that really honors and glorifies him. And that's when God begins to manifest himself to us. And what does he do here? It says the high praises of God should be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What is it talking about, two-edged sword? No doubt the word of God, right? And those two go together. We praise him according to his word. And because his word commands us to. Because his word instructs us how to. And because he's worthy. And as we praise him, God comes and inhabits those praises, and he is enthroned upon those praises, and he begins to manifest his kingly power and authority, and he begins to, through those praises, through our yielding ourselves to him and exalting him in that way, he subdues the enemies and he breaks the bondages. He executes vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people. He binds the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and executes judgment as it is written. In other words, as we praise God, those things that held us bound and those dark powers that keep us depressed and try to bind us and keep us from being what God wants us to be, those things that we can't free ourselves from no matter how hard we try, we find that as we praise God, and we acknowledge that he is king and he's greater than all these things. He's more powerful than all these other powers. And then he begins to snap those chains and break those fetters and set us free and fight those battles for us. We know the story of Jehoshaphat and how he set the praisers ahead of the soldiers. And as they praise the Lord for his mercy and his goodness, that God began to fight the battle for them and defeat the enemies, and how Joshua, when he marched around the walls of Jericho on that seventh day, they marched around seven times, and then they shouted the praise of God, and through that God manifested his great power and caused the walls to come down and subdued those enemies, fought that battle for them and gave them the victory. And last night, as we were praising the Lord, we were talking about victory and how God is breaking chains in our life and setting us free. And that's something that we need to get hold of. I need to praise him more and more and more, because it's only as I praise God and I acknowledge him as King and I open my heart to his authority can these things be subdued and conquered, and can I have victory in my life. Praise God. There's another psalm I like, this Psalm 71, and there it talks about praising him more and more. As we get older, we find that we praise God more. We should be praising God more than we did when we first got saved. And that praise ought to be just taking over in our lives. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praise God. Psalm 71, there are three verses here, in particular verse 6. Let's read that, please. Sister Jean, do you have that there? 71, verse 6.
By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee.
Praise God. My praise shall be continually of thee. I will ever praise you, it says in the NIV. And then we go down to verse 8. Yes, please. Daniel.
My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day.
Okay. My mouth is filled with your praises and glory all the day. Here he mentions his mouth. You know, we can praise the Lord in our hearts, and we should. Praise should come from our heart, from our innermost being, as we heard. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and my innermost being praise his holy name. But if you have the praises of God in your heart, they ought to come out of your mouth. And then we have verse 14. What's your name?
Dennis,
please. Thank you.
But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more.
Amen. This is David's determination. I will praise you more and more. We sang before, forevermore, O Lord, let all the people praise thee. And I like that word, forevermore, because it just doesn't mean forever, but it means forever more, right? I mean, common sense. and that as I continue to praise God forever, I'm going to praise him more and more. I like the older people in the Ridgewood Church and in our church, those that have learned to praise God and have praised him for many years and served him. And sometimes I notice as people get older, they praise him less and less. That's not what the Bible says we should do. But we should praise him more and more. The older ones should be the ones that are leading in the praise and that are filled with his praises and inspire us and teach us how to praise the Lord too. I heard a woman testify one time at Pilgrim Camp, and she said, I learned to praise the Lord by sitting next to this woman, this older saint, and when she would say hallelujah, I would say hallelujah. And when she would say praise him, I would say praise him. And she kind of just patterned herself after that woman until she could catch on herself. And we help one another. You don't realize when you're sitting in a meeting and you're praising God in the congregation, you may be blessing the person next to you, inspiring them, and helping them to get their eyes on the Lord. And then, of course, as you're praising the Lord and God is inhabiting those praises, well, then he's blessing the whole meeting, and everybody is affected in a wonderful way by that. And so sometimes we come to church and we don't have a testimony. God doesn't want you to testify in every meeting. Every meeting would last for hours and hours that way. But God wants you to praise him. Whenever there's an opportunity to praise God in a meeting, don't sit it out. to get involved. Open your mouth, open your heart, lift your hands if you're so inclined or God leads you to. But that is your way of being a blessing in the meeting and contributing to the flow and the outpouring of the Spirit. And as we do it together and we're united in that, the Lord comes to us in a very wonderful way. Let's just look at maybe one or two more verses. Hebrews, let's get into the New Testament. Hebrews 13, and the verse that I'm looking for is, where is that? 15. Sarah, do you mind, could you have that there? Hebrews 13, 15, can you read that for us, please?
Let him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Okay, here as in Psalm 71, we see those two thoughts, continually praising God, and the fruit of our lips. And here it says it's a sacrifice. You know, we are priests unto God, and we're not priests like in the Old Testament. We don't offer animal sacrifices and oblations and meal offerings and so on. But there are spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. And here it tells us that praise is one of those sacrifices that is acceptable to God, and that we as his priests are to offer to him daily, continually, and it's the fruit of our lips. We have to learn to praise God audibly. God does something for us and brings us into a liberty when we open our mouths. Sometimes it says to shout the praises of God, and some people are too bound. Hans Waldfogel used to talk about that on some of the tapes that I listened to. That when he first got involved in Pentecost, he couldn't praise the Lord like the others. He thought they were too emotional. He would sit in the meeting and hear these people praising God, and maybe he thought there was something wrong with them. But he also knew that God was there and God was doing something very wonderful. And I'm sure he heard some teaching about praise. And he said, but I found out I couldn't praise God like them. It wasn't just that... That it wasn't my cup of tea, but I realized that I was bound inside. I didn't have the liberty. I was too self-conscious. You know, that self-consciousness is like a straitjacket around you that keeps you from really opening up to God and giving him the glory that he deserves. And everybody knows what that's like, being self-conscious. When I was younger and I sat in meeting, I would praise the Lord like this. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I didn't want anyone else to hear me but Jesus. And then when I lift my hands, it's kind of like this. Nobody knew I was lifting my hands except the Lord. They thought I was looking at the time or whatever, checking out my fingernail. And that's how it was to begin with, you know. What are my friends, if they see me raise my hand or they hear me, what are they going to think or say? And I was so self-conscious and so bound. But as I continued to get my eyes on Jesus and considered how worthy he was of my praise, and I just began to forget about myself and forget about my friends. And I was more occupied with Jesus than myself, and began to praise him and worship him. And God brought me into real liberty along those lines. I can praise the Lord now by God's grace in a way that I couldn't back then. But you know, the devil likes to keep us bound up, and he uses that pride and that self-consciousness to keep us from giving God the glory that he deserves. We need to do something about that. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you because you deserve it. I don't care what anybody else does, and I don't care what anybody else thinks, but all I'm concerned about is what you think. So, Lord, help me. Then you just reach out to him, and you begin to praise him. And after a while, you just lose all thought about yourself, and you're so taken up with Christ, and he brings you into such liberty and such victory that you wonder why you didn't do that long ago. Praise God, and you want to do it more and more. Sometimes we praise the Lord in other tongues, and that's a good thing to do. If God has come to you in that way, speaking in tongues is not always giving a message in the meeting. The Apostle Paul says, I I sing in an unknown tongue, and I sing with the understanding. And we can worship the Lord and sing His praises. And sometimes the Spirit of God will just bring us into that manifestation, and we'll begin to worship Him in other tongues. And that's perfectly in order. That's not disrupting the meeting. You can be worshiping God in tongues while I'm worshiping Him in English, and that's fine. However the Lord anoints us and however He leads us, but we just want to come into liberty, and we want to honor and glorify and praise Him as we ought to. And then let's turn to Revelation, because the book of Revelation is full of praise. We get a little insight into what's going on there in heaven, and we find that they're praising Him all the time. Revelation chapter 4, and then chapter 5, the tail end of those chapters. Verse 8. Okay, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, Andrea, please. 4:8.
The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
Okay, Danielle, verse 9.
Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever.
Natalie, we'll do you again, okay? Please.
The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say,
okay. Oh, Deborah, please.
You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and okay. Had their being.
Here they're especially worshiping God because He's their Creator. We're His creatures. He created us. It's right. It's for us to praise Him and to honor Him and bow before Him and give Him thanks and so on. But here, now we get into Revelation chapter 5, and there's just a little bit of a different emphasis. And so let's look at that too, verse 11. Okay, and we'll continue. Esther, please. Rachel.
In a loud voice they say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise."
Okay, Ashley, please.
Then I heard all beings in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea offer praise. Together all of them were saying, "Praise, honor, glory, and strength forever and ever to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
Okay, and I don't know this lady's name. Linda?
Dina.
Excuse me?
Can I read in Russian? I have a Russian Bible.
We like that very much. You can read as fast as you want. Let me translate that for you. That means, can you read first?
The four living creatures said, "Amen."
Praise God. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They're praising Him for their redemption. We praise Him because He created us, and we praise Him for the new creation, that He redeemed us by His own blood, and that we're His people now. And if His people don't praise Him, who's going to? Praise God. It's fitting for the people of God to give Him praises all the day long. And so what we're doing here and in your churches back home, praising the Lord, the Bible instructs us to do it. We're doing the right thing. And if we obey the Lord and do what His Word says, then we can expect the blessing of God to accompany that. And it does. And we need to praise Him in faith and praise Him with the understanding. Don't turn your, you know, sometimes we sing worship choruses and it seems They call those 7-11 songs. They sing, they have seven words that they sing 11 times, over and over again. I told you I was in a meeting the other day and we sang for an hour. We stood up and we sang these choruses over and over again. And, you know, it just kind of felt like you're, you know, throw your brain in neutral and just go for it, you know. And, you know, I think we need to think about what we're praising and choose the best that we can give the Lord. You know, really mean it from the heart. We need to praise Him with understanding. But we don't want to just become routine or whatever. We need to really focus on Him and really mean what we say. And sometimes our thoughts wander. We'll bring them back to the Lord then and keep it up. And He'll take over somewhere along the way. Praise God. And so these are things that we need to practice. The more you praise the Lord, the greater liberty God will bring into your life. And you need to praise Him when you feel the least like praising Him. When you're disappointed in yourself and you're aware of your failures and you feel like you'll never amount to anything or you'll never overcome this thing, that's when you need to prepare a habitation for the King to come and to fight your battle for you. And of course, what God does for you in your life, that's the coming of His kingdom. That's what He died for. That's what brings Him glory and honor. And so it's not a selfish thing to want God to work in you, because that does honor Him and satisfies His heart. He paid a great price, a price that we could never imagine, to subdue our lives and to make us all His own. And so it's right for us to give Him that opportunity as often as we can. Praise God. Let's sing that chorus, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord. I guess the words are in one of those passages in Revelation. I don't know which chapter there, but I think we know it. Thou art worthy for flowers. You know, this humidity throws my guitar off, so when you go home and say, Brother Kenny's guitar sounded terrible, it's because of the humidity. Get back to Psalm 22 where we started. In the midst of all that suffering that Jesus was going through, He still knew that God was holy and that God was worthy of His praise, that God does all things well because He's holy, because He's perfect in righteousness and love and so on. And we see there that when you're in the midst of a trial and it seems as though the Lord is far away and you don't understand why He's allowing what He's allowing, Jesus taught us that's the time to praise Him and to just express faith in the fact, Lord, although I don't understand what You're doing, I know that You're holy and You're perfect and that You do all things well. And so I'm going to praise You anyway. And that really honors the Lord when we're willing to praise Him for who He is in the midst of our deepest trials. Praise God. Anybody can praise God when things are going well. Not everybody does. But when things are not going our way, to praise him because he's holy and he inhabits the praises of his people, that really brings glory to his name. Let's stand and we'll sing that chorus again, and then we'll be dismissed. God bless you all. Let's have a wonderful day, and let's praise him all day long. It's like a white card.